House Judiciary will come to order. Will the Secretary please take the roll?
Vice Chair Lear.
Here.
Vice Chair Hedges.
Here. Representative Mitchell.
Here.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Here.
Representative Smith.
Excused.
Representative Deming.
Here.
Representative Knutson.
Here.
Representative France.
Here.
Representative Carlson.
Here.
Representative Howell.
Here.
Representative C. Hinkle.
Here.
Representative Durham.
Here.
Representative Hawk.
Here.
Representative Zephyr.
Here.
Representative Kmetz.
Here.
Representative Etchart.
Excused.
Representative J. Hinkle.
Here.
Representative Rusk.
Here.
And Chair Regeer.
Here. Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We've got two bills up today, House Bill 255 and House Bill 266. We'll begin with House Bill 255. Representative, please open on your bill.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Greg Oblander, O-B-L-A-N-D-E-R, representing House District 40, which is just outside of Billings. This morning, I come to you regarding a catalytic converter theft bill. Theft of catalytic converters off of cars has become a major issue in many of our communities, and it continues to get worse. In fact, it's getting so bad that it is even depicted on crime shows on TV anymore. So it's a quick and relatively easy theft for the perpetrators. They case parking lots and businesses and neighborhoods looking for a car that they feel is prime target. And what they'll do is they sneak up to the car, they throw an aluminum floor jack under it, they jack up one side, they slide under it, they use a battery-operated saw, and they cut off in front and behind the catalytic converter, and they're gone in just a couple minutes. It doesn't take them very long at all. Unfortunately, when they do that, they don't care what they cut. And they may cut a brake line, they may cut wiring, they may cut other components on the car, and that can be devastating to the operability of that car. Certain vehicles are more common than others. Their favorite target happens to be a pickup that's made by a company that rhymes with Lodge and Ram. It sits high enough off the ground that they don't have to use a jack. They can just quickly slide underneath. It'd be like if they tried to slide under this one of your tables to get in there and cut it. And they make it even faster for them to steal it. Additional problem that goes with that, unfortunately, is when they cut that catalytic converter off, as I mentioned, they'll damage things. And somebody doesn't even know it's gone because you don't see it until they go out to use it. I have been told that replacement costs for a catalytic converter can run from $1,000 to over $4,000 on a vehicle. And the replacement costs may not be covered by insurance. And if it is, of course, then the owner of the vehicle typically has to pay a deductible. And in today's world, deductibles are getting larger and larger. Local scrap metal and salvage yards have told me that they've even had perpetrators get into their yards looking for cars that they can cut converters off of. And body shops have had them stolen right off of vehicles that are sitting in their parking lot waiting for damage repair to be done. And another business relayed to me that they had an older pickup truck that sat in front of their shop because they didn't have room to put it in front. And their catalytic converter was stolen two times. They replaced it two times. The third time they just sold the truck because they could not afford to keep paying their deductible to have it replaced. This bill is designed to create a penalty for catalytic converter theft and make it less easy for perpetrators to run to the scrap yards and take two or three or four of these catalytic converters with them and sell them. This bill limits their ability to only sell one catalytic converter per day. It does not create any additional burdens on scrap or salvage yards because they already have to document things that they buy from the public that get brought into them. It adds to an existing bill And it does talk on section one, on page one, you see where it does limit them and says what a salvage metal dealer may not do, and that's provide consideration to a seller until 72 hours after the most recent transaction. So what they'll typically do is they'll run out and steal one or two or three of these, try and run to the scrapyard, get some cash in hand, sell them real quick, and be gone. This prevents that if it's more than $30 in cash, then they are paid within 72 hours by check, which does a couple things. It gives them an address of where the perpetrator lives in order to send the check there, and it also doesn't let them have cash quickly. In section two, it limits the ability of them to transport catalytic converters and allows them to law enforcement to be able to see that, you know, pickup truck carrying two or three of these things or four around, they can see them. And it provides for a fine of not to exceed $5,000 or be imprisoned for 1 year or both. And section three is amended down on line 14 on page two. It adds that not only catalytic converters, but their component parts, if they cut off additional items with that catalytic converter. Down in section four, it's amended that in line 27, that non-ferrous metal transactions that include a catalytic converter or that exceed $50. So they have to keep a record of the person that brought them in. They have to show an ID. They have to give them a license, photo ID, some type of legal ID. And then they also, the wrecking yard, salvage yards, are looking to find out, get the license number off of the car that brought that into them to sell so that they can track them, and they have to prove that that came off of a car that they owned, not somebody else. And on page three, on line 17, it says, if the transaction includes a catalytic converter, documentation showing the catalytic converter was removed from that vehicle that's registered to them. So this is a much-needed bill. It's a getting to be a very, very large problem, and it's affecting all walks of life, from business owners to vehicle owners and salvage yards. And when I've talked to the salvage yard people, they said that they don't have any issue with this because it doesn't increase their documentation other than they get a photo ID or they get documentation that it came from a vehicle owned by that person. So with that, I'll stand for questions. Thank you.
All right, we'll begin with proponents. Again, please state and spell your name for the record and who you're here to represent. And thank you for being here.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Dan Smith, S-M-I-T-H. I am the Executive Director for the Montana Police Protective Association. We represent 25 police departments across the state. We stand in support of this bill. It's one of those crimes that I guess people don't realize that is happening in all of our jurisdictions. As you heard from the sponsor of the bill, this is a growing problem in all of our jurisdictions, and it's quite expensive. We think it makes great common sense. If you go down to a pawn shop to try to get rid of something, you're required to show ID, and that helps law enforcement when people do theft from these things to identify who's stealing what and help our community. Thank you.
Next proponent.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brian Thompson. That's T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. I'm here today on behalf of the Montana Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, as well as the Montana County Attorneys Association, to support this bill. I think Representative Oblander did a great job of explaining the technicalities of this bill. I'd like to talk a little bit about what a catalytic converter is, if you don't know. It's a part of your car's exhaust system that's required by federal regulations as part of an emissions control device. The reason they're so valuable is that they're chock full of very rare precious metals, platinum, palladium, I think some rhodium in there as well. These metals are worth a lot of money by mass. What happens is criminals often in organized rings, go around, steal multiple of them in the manner described by Representative Oblander, take them to scrap metal dealers or pawn shops, sell them, and usually make several hundred dollars. Now, like he explained, the problem there being is that it often costs far more than that to replace it. This is something that's necessary, required by federal law to have in your car. And if you don't, it's problems for you, the driver, the owner of the car. We think that this is a pretty appropriate approach to trying to solve this problem that's not only raising here in the state of Montana, but countrywide. We'd ask that you support this bill. Thank you very much.
Next proponent. Seeing no further proponents, we have no proponents online. Any opponents?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Maggie Bornstein, spelled B-O-R-N-S-T-E-I-N, here on behalf of the ACLU of Montana. We are here to oppose this bill. We don't see it as the straightforward solution that has been shared with the committee by the sponsor and the proponents, and I'd like to take a few moments to address that. The limits that are set on selling catalytic converters on a daily basis, typically we're not in the business of supporting or opposing business regulations. We do feel that it implies some level of criminality that may just not be the case in many instances, limiting folks to selling or receiving one catalytic converter a day. We feel that that is unfair both to people making those sales and to those who are in the business of salvaging. We believe that there remains a lot of uncertainty in this bill around the non-ferrous metal acquisition records. I've done a little bit of digging, and obviously I'm here for the ACLU of Montana. I'm not an expert in law outside of Montana, but it does seem that perhaps if other states don't require these non-ferrous metal acquisition records, or if they're not to the same requirements to detail things like catalytic converters being included on that record, that we may introduce a situation where somebody is passing through the state of Montana, it is not required in their state of origin, and then they may be facing criminal penalties for something that is not criminal at all and was not a requirement in the state that they were coming from, especially it seems that this bill does not include any notice of that record being a necessity in Montana. We find that the punishment is extreme. You'll hear us say that throughout the session, and I think you'll probably be unsurprised to hear us say that today, that a year of incarceration and $5,000 fines for something that would previously be covered under misdemeanor theft is not appropriate, and that this should be dealt with under misdemeanor theft law. We do recognize that the consequence of having your catalytic converter stolen is devastating and really, really unfortunate, and I don't want to pretend that that isn't a reality, but we do feel that the penalties in this situation are not on par for what the crime is. And we also would like to raise that by increasing these penalties, we will almost certainly be looking at a lot of increased costs on Department of Corrections, Office of Public Defender, and though we only have the bill that is before you right now, we need to really start having conversations around what we're doing to the justice system and access to expedient counsel for all Montanans. The more and more pressure that we put on OPD and Department of Corrections really gets in the way of ensuring that every single indigent defendant, which we know can range from parents in dependency neglect cases to people who have committed misdemeanor theft of necessity, that we are harming them by supporting legislation and voiding legislation that increases extreme penalties across the board. And so at this time, we would like you to oppose this bill, and we thank you for the opportunity to share our opposition. Thanks.
Do we have any further opponents? Seeing none, no opponents online, do we have any informational witnesses? Questions from the committee? Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If one of the proponents might have an answer to this, maybe Brian Thompson.
Madam Chair, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I almost called you Representative Thompson, sorry. How many times does a judge in your experience do the maximum penalties in crimes?
Madam Chair, Representative Sheldon Galloway, that's often, it's not frequent that the maximum penalty is rendered. It really depends on the circumstances of the case, what the other charges are. The other thing I'll mention is that I believe the penalty in Section 2 is an amount not to exceed $5,000 or be in prison for a term not to exceed 1 year. This is a misdemeanor statute. No OPD fees are required because they're not required to defend misdemeanors.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Representative Knutson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the sponsor, please, if I could.
Madam Chair, Representative Knutson.
Madam Chair, Representative Oblander, admittedly, this is something I'm not very familiar with. But just looking through some of the requirements on page one, the sale and transportation, limiting everybody. You didn't include in here, you know, somebody without one of these licenses. You just says a seller may not sell more than one a day. You know, up in Malta, we have a scrap metal guy and collects old cars, does a little crushing, cuts them up, runs them to Pacific. So how is this going to impact somebody like that who may very well be selling more than one a day because they're not going to take, you know, 10 trips over 10 days to go to Haver when, you know, one trip will do.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Knutson. The intent of this bill is to try and limit the perpetrators from selling and stealing them. As far as a scrapyard dealer, they're going to have documentation on where those items came from, those converters, and so they're able to document and show to the company you referenced and show them where that came from. So they're allowed to sell more. This just limits the ability of, excuse me, of an individual to come in that has been out the night before having fun.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the sponsor, please.
Madam Chair, Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Oblander. Did you ever consider that the car had to be brought to the scrapyard and the scrapyard is the one that removes the catalytic converters? Because I know some states have that policy instead of this route.
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Sheldon Galloway. In conversations with the scrapyards that salvage vehicles and so forth, if it's attached to the car, it's not a problem. It's when they come in with the individual converter, two or three or four, whatever they have, and say, we want to sell these and get our $1,000 or whatever they can get and leave with it. So being attached to a car when they come in, there's already requirements for them to prove ownership when they bring a car into a salvage yard to sell it, and then they buy the whole car. That's all documented.
So, Madam Chair, follow up. Thank you. I guess my point is, Representative, that it would be required that the whole car would come before the salvage yard could accept a catalytic converter. That's how some states, in my understanding, have solved this problem.
Madam Chair.
So is that a consideration? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Representative Sheldon Galloway. In Washington State, for example, they have a very strict catalytic converter sale law, and they were probably the first one in this region to develop one, and they did it late 2009, 10, somewhere in there. But they have one. But no, they are allowed to buy them. A salvage yard is allowed to buy the catalytic converter, but they can only buy from one person, one at a time. Does that answer your question?
Enough. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Representative France.
For the sponsor, please.
Madam Chair, Representative France.
Madam Chair, Representative like my colleague sitting next to me, I'm a little troubled by the transportation provision. Would this bill work if we were to strip out new Section 2 and just put the documentation requirements on to people buying these? I would think that if someone were stealing them, to have to provide a driver's license and accept payment by check would at least kill that part of the market for illegal stolen catalytic converters.
Madam Chair, Representative France, I would not want to strip that out, because if we don't have some type of deterrent for the perpetrators, then there's really not a deterrent. For them to have to provide a driver's license or documentation, they already have to do that under the current statute when they bring a car or parts of a car or whatever in to sell it. That already has to be documented. And so this doesn't change that, other than it adds a deterrent and that there's a fine for doing so. So if you think about the people who get their catalytic converters stolen, and they're easily out $1,000 to $4,000+, they have to pay that deductible if their insurance covers that theft. So, you know, why should they have to pay out more because somebody steals their catalytic converter than somebody who stole it?
Just one follow-up question, Madam Chair.
Follow-up.
Representative, how many catalytic converters are we seeing stolen in a month or a year?
Madam Chair, Representative France, I don't have that number, but I can tell you from the people I've talked to, it's in the thousands throughout the state. It is getting to be a very common quick cash thing for people to steal one and go get some cash. And that's why we put in the 3-day delay for them to get paid, because they can't go get cash and run do something else, whatever that is.
I see all that. I just was wondering what the scale was. I'm wondering if any of the witnesses know the size of this market.
Is that a follow-up?
It's an open-ended question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, Representative, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for the good questions, because when you initiate a bill like this that adds on to something that exists, there's always questions and concerns. You try and dot all your I's and cross your T's, and so I appreciate the questions. The concern is that this is becoming almost epidemic, because so many people are getting them stolen. And this is a much-needed bill that should cause a drop in the number of catalytic converter thefts, which has a positive impact on the public. Those people who are getting them stolen will not have significant costs associated with their car just sitting in the driveway that they don't anticipate. It makes it harder for perpetrators to sell the stolen catalytic converter, and thieves can't go make a quick dollar because they spent the night out cutting 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 catalytic converters off of cars. And they can't sell more than one at a time, so it puts a burden on them to have to go back. And in a lot of your bigger areas, there's 8 or 10 salvage yards around. So, you know, they could still make the run to go from each different salvage yard if they choose to. But again, it makes it harder. And they have to provide that documentation on where it came from. So there really isn't a downside to this bill. So I ask for your due pass on House Bill 255. Thank you.
This closes the hearing on House Bill 255. We will now open the hearing on House Bill 266. Representative, would you like to open on your bill?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Tony Brockman. That's spelled B-R-O-C-K-M-A-N. I represent House District 9, which is North Kalispell and the community of Evergreen. House Bill 266 eliminates the Advisory Council on Concealed Weapons permits. This bill is a part of the Governor's Red Tape Relief Initiative. This advisory council was established in 1995 to negotiate concealed weapons reciprocity agreements with other states. pardon me. While information is limited, we could only find one record that this meeting, or we could only find record of this board only meeting one time in its existence. Natalia Bowser, the executive director of the Board of Crime Control, is here and can shed more light on the board's 23 years activity. But yeah, it's time for this board to go. This is a part of the governor's red tape relief initiative. With that, Madam Chair, I'll sit down and let Lieutenant Governor Juris provide more specifics of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll begin with proponents. First proponent.
Good morning, Chair Regeer, members of the committee. For the record, Lieutenant Governor Kristen Juras, J-U-R-A-S, appearing on behalf of the governor's office. And Madam Chair, may I hand out, give to your clerk an
you
exhibit
may.
To?
Yes, please. Out.
As noted by Representative Brockman, this does come out of our red tape relief where we're trying to identify commissions, councils that have served their purpose and are no longer necessary. What the handout I'm passing out is a study prepared by the legislative research analyst for the Law and Justice Interim Committee in February 2011. And they issued a recommendation at that time that this council should be eliminated, but no action was taken on that. They stated in this report that the advisory council is struggling to determine its identity, purpose, and duties. As far as we know, the last meeting was in September of 2010, and there currently is no membership and haven't been meetings, and Ms. Bowser will also be here as an informational witness. We request that you support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, proponent. Any further proponents? Seeing none, do we have any opponents? No opponents. Informational witnesses.
Good morning, Chairwoman Regeer, members of the committee. My name is Natalia Bowser. I'm the director for the Board of Crime Control. That's B-O-W-S-E-R. As mentioned previously, this council actually was administratively attached to the Board of Crime Control, so that's where we came in. From the information that I was able to find, we actually did only meet once on this, which was prior to my tenure at the Board of Crime Control, but it was in September of 2010. I have a set of meeting minutes if you're interested in that. It sounds like it was actually attached to the Board of Crime Control. There was a board that met for a while prior to that, and then there was kind of a pause in that. And then when it came to the Board of Crime Control, they kind of struggled to find some of what they were looking for on what they needed to meet here. And so from that day forward, I think after that, what was passed around to you stating that it should be removed, and maybe there wasn't necessarily a need for it going forward, or it could be done through executive order of the governor, it was sort of determined that there was apparently not in another need to keep that going forward. So I can tell you with all the councils and boards that are assigned to the Board of Crime Control, if they are needed, we definitely meet. And so I can only make assumptions that there was apparently not a need necessarily for this one to meet, or it was the issues that were coming before this council were remedied in different ways. So with that, I am available for any questions or if you should have any. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further informational witnesses? Seeing none, do we have questions from the committee? No questions. Representative, would you like to close on your bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for another great quick hearing. House Bill 266 eliminates a board that no longer needs to be in existence. And with that, I ask for a due pass. Thank you very much.
This closes the hearing on House Bill 266. Representative Carlson? What?
She's wondering if we can make it, do executive action on it. She could bring it forward to the crew.
Just to clean it out.
The question came up of, can we just do executive action on that bill? Does anyone have objection to that? Just that one. We can wait. We can wait.
I feel like I don't know how to step
aside. Just shake your head.
Let's just wait till tomorrow. We've got some others that we'll be doing tomorrow. So we'll do that. We'll do that tomorrow. Does anyone have any questions, concerns for the good of the group? All right, tomorrow we have three bills and we'll be doing executive action, so please make sure those amendments are in if you have any, because we'll clean the slate again tomorrow. All right, House Judiciary is adjourned.
They're calling less than a year. There was nothing.